Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
Father in the house is a nice way of saying old. Father, I do thank you for the opportunity to be here, to pray for this man, this warrior with a servant's heart, this man that leads us, the shepherd of our flock. He has been a blessing to many of us. He's been a blessing to all of us. Father, I ask you to continue to be with him as he walks and as he talks and as he goes through life. Thank you, Lord, for doing all you do for him, all you do for us through him. The last few weeks, for those of you who have been here, have heard powerful, powerful words coming from this pulpit. I thank you for Rod. I thank you for what he means to me, my family, and you and your family. So, Lord, continue to walk with him. Continue to hold him up. Continue to gird him. I love him, and I love you, and I call you holy. And I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Morning, Coastal. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Joey. Wow.
A whole lot of you appear when I'm busy worshiping.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Excited about the word this morning. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3 is where you need to go with your Bibles or your devices or wherever you kind of find the scriptures nowadays. Hallelujah. And let me just make sure my device wakes up. Sorry. It's not the first slide. No. Valerie does my slides on Saturday night, and so she tells me that was not the first slide. So you can see what kind of wife I have right from the front row. Here we go. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'll get to Ephesians 3, but just to bring you up to speed as we family, just to let you know, if you are visiting for the first time, welcome. I've met some new folks. James, family from California. Yeah, welcome, welcome, wherever you are. No, I ought to take a call. Okay. God's and Janice's sister. Anyway, so there's a group of you. Thank you so much for coming and spending the morning with us. So I got a call from Pastor Trent from Epic, and he said, listen, Rod, have you ever been to Israel on a Holy Land trip? I said, no, never done that. Been wanting to. It's on my bucket list. We've kind of just done Rome, Athens, and all that. So he said, well, would you go instead of me? Would Val and I go instead of he? Because Tammy, I think, is going through treatment and they just couldn't make the trip. So obviously I just said, okay, let me quickly ask the elders. And they unanimously said yes, because I thought, man, I'm pushing my credit in the bank. I've just been away. But this would complete my whole trip. And everything that we kind of read in the Bible, I'll be able to relate to it. And so I said yes, so we leave tomorrow morning. Just like that, eh? So we go. So I said, Pastor, listen, there's a whole bunch of other pastors that we hang out with. And he said, no, I want you to go with Valerie and take care of our sheepies across there. So we're taking the Epic team across there. We're joining two other churches. And so, yeah. So think of me on Wednesday. I'll be on the boat in Galilee. Just where Peter decided to do walking on water. See, I'm going to try it and see if my faith level's there and walk on water. But yeah, I just needed to let you know that. And we got a phenomenal message coming next Sunday. Do not miss next Sunday. It's a sequel to what I'm saying today. So it was lovely to be able to just put our hearts together on that message. So don't miss next week, because it's a continuation. There's something about the announcements. We're trying to minimize the announcements from here because we want to just be able to get enough time for ministry and the word. So I'm going to kind of reserve announcements for new events, new things that are happening, and think special events that are happening, just to bring everybody up to speed. Can I ask this, though? If you belong to different groups, like Hope and Men's Breakfast and the Ladies Breakfast and Barry's Bible Study, can you as members be the recruitment agent? And would you just find out people that are not with you and say, hey, you're missing out. What Buzz and Sharon are ministering and Chris are ministering on Hope. Come on, you need to get there.
So I'm going to rely on you to, as teams, to kind of monitor that. We will be using different facilities, different mediums to communicate. We've got a PowerPoint slide that we'll roll before and after the service to kind of keep you in the loop. We have a bulletin that we, and has most of the information. We have Facebook, hallelujah, and we have website. So we are trying everything, and we got word of mouth. So please, can we just, and if you're in doubt, give Connection a shout. They're on the corner. They kind of know everything. So you know why? Because during the week, I get calls. Val and I get calls. When's the ladies' breakfast? When's the men's breakfast? And we have announced every which way. So I'm going to give you some grand advice when you do call me. Call the office, okay? But Coastal, just a couple of things I do want to mention, though. February, we're going to call us as a church to a fast. Met with most of the pastors of this area on Wednesday, and they're all in a fast. In January, they fast. But it's a bit tough coming straight out of Christmas, having our appetite so well-oiled and tuned to eat. To hit the fast in January is a bit challenging. So we kind of let you slow down. And so February is our fast month. So we're going to be calling ourselves to a fast. Some of you were going to a Daniel fast. I just really encourage you to fast something that will arrest you and bring a spiritual focus in your life. And let's set the track. Let's set the way forward for 2020. And really, let's just get into the groove. And hopefully what I'm ministering would also encourage you. Also, that in February, February 16th, we're going to have a new people's lunch. It's called Lunch with the Pastor. So if you haven't had lunch with Rod and Val, that's a good time to come along. And we kind of have a chat and find out where you come from. Where we've come from, where we're going, where's this bus going, how you can get on board, and we find out about that because it's so difficult to do that here on Sundays. So we put a lunch together there. Jane and John Skolt, they're the oversight because we belong to Church of the Nations. They're our oversight, and so James, your family trying to get in and they can't get in because that door is locked. So anyway, they're new, yeah. Anyway, John and Jane are coming. John and Jane are going to be here, and he's going to minister on February the 9th here, and it's just powerful to hear. He has an apostolic call on his life, and he just really gives us the Google Earth perspective of what's happening around the world, and it's just encouraging. And we're trying to put a family breakfast together February the 8th. So we're going to be looking forward to that. Hallelujah. Okay, and then we have 23rd. We got Coastal Church Business. We tag a business meeting at the end of our Sunday service, and we kind of work about talk about the income and expenses and our budget. And you will be totally surprised, like I am, every time we meet as a finance team, how God is doing what He's doing. And I want you to be a part of that. So we have that. So anyway, I needed to just throw that out there so that I don't have announcements coming around my way. For a long, long time now. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me pray. Father, I'm just so excited. Just the words in the songs just got me so excited with confirmation what you want me to share this morning as we continue to dovetail the messages that you have given me already. And so, Father, I thank you that we have hearts that are ready, postured to receive the engrafting word that will change us and transform us and bring us into your likeness. So, Father, I thank you that we'll not only listen, but we'll hear today. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And we'll hear your word in such a new way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I've called this, obviously, the year kind of God says, I want this to be a year of my fullness, God's fullness. And so, and like I said in previous times, that I said, God, have you been holding out on us? He said, no, you've been holding out on me. He's poured his fullness into us, but we are not that right billboard yet. We're kind of holding back on God. So that fullness means completely filled, containing all that can be filled, held and filled to the utmost capacity. I want to be that walking fullness of God. So whatever way you approach me, you have God seeping out of me. You've heard the saying, you're full of yourself. You're really full of it, you know? Because I don't want to be the full of me. I want to be the fullness of God. Like John said, that I may decrease, that you may increase. And that's what we are what we're beckoning for as we look at our approach to 2020. We want to be joyful, thankful, peaceful, hopeful, helpful, faithful, grateful, graceful, merciful, mindful, kindful, powerful. That's what we want to be. That's what we want to be for God. Not because we're something. No. We're His, and because of Him, we are something. Amen. So God is wanting to have the full display of Christ coming in and through us. He said, man, I'm a real yuck yuck. That's all right. The more of God comes in, flushes out that yuck yuck, and you transform. Because God works from the inside out. That's how He works. Because I tell you what, I didn't change much when Christ came into my life on the outside. But eventually, my whole verbiage changed. My whole posture changed. My whole attitude changed. Why? Because something happened on the inside. And so that's what we want to do. Anyway, I'm sure you're at Ephesians 3. Let me pick up from verse 14. It just undergirds what I want to say to you this morning. It says here, when I think of all this, this is Paul talking to Ephesians, as he thinks about all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray for that from His glorious, unlimited resource, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. You see how He's got this thing that He understands that God wants to empower us right in our spirit. And then Christ will make His home in your heart as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And make you and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep His love is. Oh, man. You'll never get your head around it. Many of you, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is so, it's too great to understand fully. And I understand that. Man, just when I think I've got the handle on God's love, it gets bigger. Who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, working within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church. Glory to Him in the church. That's us. And in Christ Jesus. Through all generations. That includes us. Paul wasn't just talking to his generation or talking to those in Ephesus right there. Through all generations forever and ever. Amen. I tell you, when you read how much He is so postured to deposit His fullness into us, so that we may walk in our fullness and display His fullness. I tell you what, it eventually you just realize, God, He is so for us. He is so much in our corner. So this is the third week I've been talking on this series, and finally I've kind of named the series, You Have It. This is Your Have It series, okay? You Have It. And we are called to make disciples. And so we need to understand what we have so we can make disciples. What's this? What's discipling? It's a process of moving us from unbelief to belief in every area of our life. There's still areas in my life that I'm being discipled in. And I've been walking 40 years. 40 years, and I'm still being discipled. Because as I get to the Word and preparing this, guess what? God is discipling me. He's moving me from unbelief to belief in every area of my life. There's areas of salvation that I was in total unbelief. And as I heard that preacher preach, and I realized that salvation came through Jesus, and it wasn't a sin issue anymore, it was a relationship issue, I dived right in. I moved from unbelief to belief right there. Then I understood there were so many other things that I had to journey in, and I'm still unpacking things, and I think, man, I've got a handle on this. No. And I'll confess some of my sins in this message today, because I'm very good at confessing my sins in front of everybody here. Hallelujah. But we've got to move. We can't be the church or the body of Christ that Paul talks about to Timothy. He says in Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of thereof. We've got to become the church that displays the fullness and the goodness and the glory of God. We've got to be that. We've got to stop being, okay, we have this form of godliness. Yes, I go to church, I check the box. Yes, I'm nice to my neighbor, check the box. Yes, I'm nice to my wife, check that box. No, no. We've got to have this incredible dynamite of God working in and through us. That we have a now word for people. That we can speak to situations and declare the word of God over them and see them move. See them change. We've got to be that church.
We can't be this mealy-mouthed church that just doesn't have any power. God says, I want you to walk in the fullness of power. And the first message I spoke about is, what do you have? What do you have? And obviously, I'm trying to move ourselves in unbelief to belief, understanding of what we have. And it came when I was looking at Acts 3, and as Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and obviously as they got to the gate, they saw the man that was lame from birth, sitting at the gate, beautiful, and there he was begging. And Peter said, hey, and John said, look at us, pay attention, pay attention. And as soon as he paid attention, he said the statement. Peter goes on and says, silver and gold I do not have. Now, in the faith movement, that was a bad confession. You're not supposed to say that in the hyper-faith days. That's a bad confession. No, well, I don't actually have any silver and gold on me now. I've only got a credit card. That's all I have. That doesn't help you, my man, because you don't have a credit card machine right next to you there while you're begging. But no, he says, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. He had something. And that gripped me, and I said, what do we have? What do we have? And so that whatever Peter had brought life and healing to that lame person. You talk about from that moment of grabbing his hand and putting him up, that man's legs grew, strengthened, muscles, tendons, sinews, and balance, and walked. Not only walked, what he asked for, he leaped and praised God and jumped in. Man, that's the power that dwells within us. Because that's what, and you say, oh, and I'm not sure about that. Well, Peter went on where his shadow touched people, and his shadow healed people. And Paul went on where handkerchiefs were placed on him, and they took it to wherever it was. I've seen that before, where handkerchiefs have been laid on anointed preachers. They put it in an envelope, mailed it to somebody, and they just placed it on the pillow, and the person's healed, or that person's saved. That still happens. Still happens, and people were raised from the dead. Sick were healed. You've got to understand that's what. So I had to unpack that, and you've got to listen to it on the podcast because it's worth regurgitating. And then last week I spoke it. You already have it. You already have it, and I love this. I think that the next picture is there. John changed it at a young age in your faith. You've got to understand you have it. Okay, you have it. You have it. You need to realize that Peter was not special. He wasn't unique. He didn't have a special gifting, because that's kind of what you want to default to. Stop thinking like that. That brings doubt and unbelief in your head. God is not a respecter of persons. What he did for Peter and for Paul and for those that believed him, he still does today. And we need to realize that God's plan is to have the same access as Peter had. So what silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. And we need to have a revelation of that. And there's so much doubt and unbelief. Well, I'm not part of that. I don't do this ministry thing. I don't care. If you said yes to Jesus, you qualify. You said yes to Jesus, he downloads his full power and his ability into you. And we need to agree with it and recognize it. Through faith, being born again, that exchange of life took place. That old man was dealt with all its curses, its poverty, its sinfulness, its shame, its sorrow, its selfishness, its powerlessness, its purposelessness, if there's ever such a word. That was all done away with when salvation came. You're translated and changed. Because through salvation, our spirit became new. We became a new creation, a new inheritance. And so if you constantly look in the rearview mirror of what you were, well, then you're not going to see what you are. And the way you need to look at it, for the fullness of God was downloaded into you. Because as soon as I said yes to Jesus, I appropriated what Jesus did at Calvary, dealt with sin, and I said yes to the relationship that made me right with God. That righteousness allowed my spirit man to be born again. It allowed me to have the righteousness of God in me. It allowed the goodness and the power of God to come and take residence within me. Did I deserve it? No. Did I earn it? No. But that's what grace does. That's what grace does. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. Not exchanged, not renovated, nothing brand new. So the third part of you, the spirit man, has become brand new. I love what Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 1:3. It says, blessed be the Lord, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You say, well, that's spiritual blessing. What use is all the spiritual blessings in heaven? I need it right now. I don't want pie in the sky. I want steak on the plate. I want it right now. And God says, I have provided for you. And we've got to be able to bring from the Spirit into the reality of now. And faith does that if we understand what God has provided for us in the Spirit. But my favorite one is 2 Peter. And I'll tell you, I regurgitate this one and regurgitated the one verse 3. It says, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power has given, past tense, He has given, past tense, all the things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. So when if we perish because we don't understand, we lack knowledge, we don't know what God has provided, what He has downloaded in that package when we said yes to Jesus in salvation. Spirit is brand new. My spirit is brand new. My soul, my mind, will, and emotions are being renewed. It's coming from unbelief to belief in every area of its thinking, even its emotion. I talk to my emotions. Mondays, I don't feel so good. I have the pastor's blues on Monday. If anybody knows what pastor's blues is, man, I shouldn't have said this. I should have said that. Where was so-and-so? I wonder if they've left the church. What? Yeah. I'm going to tell you, the devil, he has a heyday. And I've got to get a hold of my emotions and say, hey, shut up. It's my day off. You're relaxing. I need a rest, please. Hallelujah. I've got a whole list of counseling things that happen Tuesday onwards. I need to have a break here. But we have this, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of what? Of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. I understand, man, in this place, this holy place that's in my life, that spirit, man, I have deposited, God has deposited His fullness and His awesomeness. And that's why we have this statement. I've written it up, lady, don't write it up now, but we're the vessels through which divine favor flows, preventing misfortune in the lives of others. We become that. Oh, it's up there. Hallelujah. We have God's righteousness. We have God's spirit. We have God's life. We have God's power deposited in us. Don't earn it, because this is what grace does. See it there in 2 Corinthians 5. It says, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And it says, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. The spirit that's within us. 5 says that he who has the Son has life. It goes on to say, when the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll have power. We're talking about things that we need to have memorized. We need to have taken this mind, our soul area, and realized we need to reprogram it, that you are not nothing, we are something in God. That we are these vessels through God, which God wants to use to advance His kingdom, which is part of our mandate, to advance the kingdom of God. But if we don't think so, if we don't know so, we ain't going to do so. Okay? My English is not too good today, but we're moving along. Hallelujah. But my favorite is Romans 8:11. Oh, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead. Where does it live? Lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living where? Within you. Is Paul lying? I mean, Jesus was talking about how God will give us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes with a whole package. Holy Spirit is the one that when God said, let there be light, man, He made it happen. That powerful, when He said, got Jesus out the grave, that same Spirit is within us. Man, you get a revelation of that. You got to talk to a few mountains in your life and work out, and you have very little doubt and unbelief. How do you release this? Ezekiel 4:6, it says, yeah. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. You understand we have this partnership within us with the Holy Spirit, that Jesus who went around doing good and healing all, and He did it everything by hearing what God said and saying it. He says, I say nothing unless my Father tells you what to say, and I do nothing unless my Father tells me what to do. You understand that when I'm looking at a situation, I'm praying before I pray. So I need to ask God, how do I do? What do I do? Do I pray? How do I pray? I mean, you look at some of these mighty men of God. Man, the things they had to do. Again, I've quoted to you one of my heroes, Smith Wigglesworth, when he dealt with that lady that had this big goiter in the tummy. And how he dealt with it. He fell three times, and the whole crowd was really angry with him. But he used to pray for a multitude of people, and he came across two deaf and dumb people standing side by side. And so he said, Father, what do I do? He says, put your finger in the ear, say here, put your hand on his mouth, say speak. And he did in the power of God. So now Rodders would have done the exact same thing to the second person because they're side by side. I thought, man, wonderful. Let me do the same. What does Smith Wiggles say? Father, what do I do? He says, rebuke the spirit of deaf and dumb. You've got to hear. Even though we contain this incredible power in us, we've got to hear how to release it. Important, important. John G. Lake, the bubonic plague in Africa. He was a doctor, a medical doctor from Spokane, Washington. Has over 100,000 recorded miracles. 100,000 recorded miracles. They emptied the hospitals in every sick place in Spokane, Washington, because they had these healing teams that went around praying for the sick. What a cheap way to do it. Man, that'll sort out the medical situation in this country, eh? Who needs health care? Man, I could spend that money somewhere else. Hallelujah. Come on, church, we can be that. Why? So he's in Africa, and this demonic plague, and the scientists are there trying to find a way of stopping it, and they know that the froth that comes out of the people that are passed on, the froth in it is highly contagious. And he says, come here. He says, and he went there and took the foam off with his hand. And he told the scientists, have a look. Scientist puts the magnifying glass looking at it. And they watched the whole the virus and everything start dying on his hand. And they said, how can that be? He says, because the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. That's a revelation to him. He found out that that came by grace. That was part of the package deal that you and I need to walk in and live in. And he grabbed that and they saw that and that's what happened. No deadly thing can handle the righteousness and the glory of God that's in your life. If you allow it to be released, allow it to be released. You already have it. Hallelujah. It's important to know whose you are. Oh my gosh, do you understand when you came to salvation, whose you became? Oh man, you whose you are and who you are. When you look in that mirror, you need to know who you are. So when you speak to situations, you know who you are. That you understand that you're a child of the Most High God and that He has deposited all the things that pertain to life and godliness that's in me. And I have the authority to speak that. Don't go ahead of yourself. And then what do you have? You need to understand what do you have. Because I've been talking about what's been deposited in our lives so that we can walk in the fullness of God's goodness and His grace. We need to understand that. Why? Because it affects our faith. It affects how we approach things in prayer. It affects everything, how we receive things, how we believe things, how we behave, how we speak. It affects everything when you understand whose you are, who you are, and what you have. We've got to have a handle on it. We've got to know that you know. Don't avoid meetings because I want to get to hear who's speaking on the Bible so I can hear what's going on. So that I can learn. So I can move from unbelief to belief. Because we're all on that journey. And we're all at different places. And we need to hear that. Even this very week, that's my confession. Hallelujah. I'm preaching on this. What you have. Then I'm talking about it. So this week, suddenly, reality struck and I got an AC issue that I needed to sort out the AC in my house. And that was $1,000. And then I've got, they're replacing the roof. The shortfall is $1,000. And I need to pay the extra bits and pieces like tipping and food and everything else on this trip. Suddenly hits me all in the middle of the week. So driving back with Valerie, I said, Valerie, we need to ask the Father. We need some extra. And this is X, what we need. And then we're just about to pray like we always do. Father, we ask you. And God slapped me. He says, what are you preaching? He says, I've given you everything. I became poor that you may become rich. I've deposited in your bank account, your spiritual bank account, everything that will supply that need. Now, would you do what you preach? So I said, okay, Father, I speak release to that need in Jesus' name. You have already provided it to Calvary. It's in my account. I'm making a withdrawal, and I'm speaking in Jesus' name. I have to speak to the mountain about God. Don't go whine to God about the mountain. And you have a few mountains that you keep whining at him, and he says, Lord, you just take the capacity I put within you as a born-again believer and speak to that mountain. That's what he's asking. So he slapped me, stopped me, and I was driving, and I had to keep my eyes focused because it's wrong. We've got to say exactly, because that's why he says, man, many times we pray amiss. We pray amiss. So we need to approach it because we're not under the circumstances. We're above the circumstances. We're not asking for victory. We declare from victory. That's where we are. Like I said last year, it's so far so much easier to defend a hill than take a hill. We've got the position. We've got the place. And so all that I say to say this, the title of today's message is, you have what it takes. My message is far shorter than my introduction. But I need you to hear that again. And I'm going to keep pounding it until I start seeing the dead raised, the blind seeing, the lame walking. I mean, signs and wonders and miracles following because you're declaring what God has already done in your life. And he wants to do in other lives. That's what Bill Hybels says. Man, if there's a need in the body, turn the hydrant of the word of God onto it and blast it. I'm blasting you with who you are, what you have, and what you can do. Hallelujah. So today's title, You Have It series, the title is, You Have What It Takes. You have what it takes. To Peter, again, I'm going to have to say, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And he has already. And so we've got it. So we've got to realize that we have it. We have what it takes. We have what? We have possession. We have possession in earthen vessels, the fullness of God. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We got possession. We got possession of God's ability and his power and his resources available to us. We have it. Not we're going to get it. No, we have it. And so we got to approach it from that aspect. Like I always say, it's so easy to get God into somebody, but it's a heck of a hard to try and get God out of someone. So they can display his goodness and his glory and his grace and his ability and his power. And that's what God's saying. You possess it, now release it. What do we also have? We have position. We have a position. We are being placed in a place of authority. Because it says here in Ephesians 2:6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ. So every situation you've got to look down on because you're seated at the highest point, at the right hand of the Father, and you look down on the situation. And so when you pray, pray down on the situation. Pray from from your position as a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Your surrounding doesn't determine your position. I don't know if you're a white collar, blue collar, or no collar. That doesn't determine what you have and what you don't have in God. If I'm a son of God, the package deal is the same as anybody else that's a son and daughter of God. Same deal. And that we've got to understand that. We've got to understand that we have that privilege to walk into the realms of God and say, God, I'm declaring what you've already purchased, what you've already done. Story of I heard about this young the soldier desperately needed the president to pardon his son, his brother, because of a misunderstanding. And he needed to speak to the president. And he tried to get there, and the security guys wouldn't let him go. Came out dejected, sitting on the steps, sitting next to this young boy. And this young boy says, well, why you look so dejected? He said, man, I just really need to get to the president and talk to him about my brother. He says, oh, don't worry. He grabs the man's hand and he walks right through, past the security guards, all the way through into the president's office, right to the desk. He says, Dad, this man needs to talk to you. That's us. Grab your situation,
walk it right through and say, Dad, I'm speaking what you purchased at Calvary through your son Jesus. I'm talking to the situation. I'm declaring it. That's my position. I have that position. And we need to be able to do that. Amen? Hallelujah. We have power. We have power. God's power. Not our power, but God's power. He has allowed us. I mean, you'd understand that the law enforcement guys, they have this lovely badge on them, and they can step in front of a semi, and that semi better look after it, because behind that badge is a whole lot of authority. And I'm just saying that we have Christ as our badge, and say, I want to tell you a situation about my Christ. Tell the mountain about your God, and watch the thing move. Amen? We have what it takes. We need to understand that we have what it takes, and it takes faith in God's grace. You understand, all that I said that's been provided, God, by His grace, has provided it for us. I've been walking with God for 40 years plus. And this has been added and added, and I'm still working from unbelief to belief. And so we got to understand, you can't give what you don't have. But when you realize you do have it, I tell you what, it's fun to be able to dish it out and give it, because that's what God wants us to do. That's why Peter could say, but what I have, I give to you. That's why Peter could say that, because he knew what he had. And I'm trying to tell you all, including myself, what we have. And I'm preaching to myself, because I want to move to this place where I know that His divine power can flow through me, because I don't have doubt and unbelief. I have belief. So we need to understand that, knowing what you have in God. You understand that we have His righteousness, we have His Spirit, we have His life, and we have His power. What does that do? That releases victory. That releases healing. That releases blessings. That releases provision, presence, deliverance. All those things come because I'm now understanding where I am. And I can release that in Jesus' name. And so His divine power is there for all things that pertain to life and godliness. All those things that pertain to life and godliness. What we have comes from God. It's God's divine enablement, God's grace. It's God's divine enablement. He wants finding a vessel that will say, yes, God, I believe you for it. I'm going to lay hands on the sick. I'm going to speak what you say. And when you do that, things happen. Because we need to live in it, and we need to pass it on and give it. We need to be able to be that vessel. Because you only can give what you know that you have. So we're those vessels through which divine favor flows. Agreeing with what you have is what faith is all about. Agreeing with it. I'm agreeing with what has been downloaded in my life. That's what I'm wanting to do. And that agreement is faith. Where I'm responding to what I have. I'm responding to what I have. That is faith. I'm receiving what has been given to me. That is faith. That's what God wants us to have. It's like salvation. And salvation, you know it's there for all. When you realize salvation is there for all, but many of us have heard it and heard it and heard it and never respond. We've resisted it. We've rejected it. But finally, when the penny drops and we receive it, that we receive that provision, salvation comes to our lives. Because suddenly the measure of faith that's in my life, suddenly I say, that is truth. That response and inviting it brought salvation to me. And with that came this whole incredible package that came in Christ. Yeah, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Because if you declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. No question about it. Do you see there? So when you start saying what you believe, things start happening. When you start saying Jesus is Lord, what you're declaring is that He is my Lord. I recognize Him as Lord. I receive Him as Lord. And when I say it with my mouth, because I'm believing it in my heart, things start happening. Salvation comes to me. And that's the same thing that God says, I need you to have faith on for the grace that I've provided. I want you to have faith. So I took my measure of faith that came from hearing the Word of God, and I responded to the salvation in that school hall, and salvation came to me. That grace that God provided came to me. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and by openly declaring your faith that you are saved.
unbelievable when you start connecting our faith with what grace has done. I'm telling you what grace has done in our lives, what grace has deposited in our lives. If we can connect with that in our with our faith, things start happening in the realms of the sea. Because that's how God works. He wants to take from the unseen to the seen. And so Hosea said, my people are just being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They are perishing for a lack of knowledge, for not knowing me. So faith and grace, you've got to understand, you've got to have this understanding of faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing God's word. You are hearing sometimes today for the first time that you're hearing, man, I've had this incredible resource deposited in me at salvation. I didn't know that. I've given you as many scriptures as I can to do that. And what? So my faith is not growing, but I have to apply it to grace. The grace. I need to agree with the grace that's been deposited in my life. We need to have that connection. We need to connect it. It's like sodium and chloride. And chloride. Sodium by itself, if we just consume sodium by itself, ain't healthy. If we ate chloride by itself, it's not healthy. It's actually detrimental to us. But if you put it together, sodium chloride, you have salt, which is very important to us. That's the thing with faith and grace. Faith is like sodium and grace is like chloride. But you say, God by His grace is doing this. God by His grace is healing. God by His grace is doing. No. And then by faith, by faith I do this and by faith I do that. No, you've got to have faith applied to grace. I have faith in what God has done. If I have faith in what God has done, God does it. That's what happens. But if I have just faith and say, we apply faith to all sorts of things. You've got faith in those chairs. You didn't come to me and say, what's the weight load of these chairs? What's the stress level of these chairs? You just plonked yourself down. I have faith tomorrow that the pilot has a pilot license. He's going to fly me for 10 hours across a pond. Yeah? You got faith that you're going to get in the car and that car's going to stop at the stop street. Your brakes. We're applying our faith to all sorts of things. But if we don't take our faith and apply it to grace, that's what we need. So I'm trying to tell you what we have so we can take our faith and apply our faith to grace. The grace, the things that God has provided for us. Because then when we see that, that's when things happen. Faith in God's grace is the power, provision, and purpose of why we're here. When we're putting our faith in grace. This you need to write down here.
But before you write that down, I want to just say that we are saved by grace through faith. Grace has provided salvation to every man. But it requires faith in man to appropriate that grace to their life for salvation. It's a relationship thing. Have to. You've got to understand the two work together. That God has provided this incredible grace in this, what God has done for us. And I can relate it to the power company, Florida Power and Light, have provided power to this building. We have a connection and a supply agreement with them. That there's power to this building. And so when I come on Sunday mornings and it's pitch dark and I can't, and nothing's on, do I pick up the phone and call Florida Power and Light and say, guys, I have no electricity. I have no lights on. The power's not working. I need you to provide it. And they look and they say, we do not have any outages in Flagler Beach. There is power on your building. I said, well, I need you to come here and I need you to work on my switches and switch my switches on so I can make sure that the lights are working. You think Florida Power and Light's going to do that? It's my responsibility to go to that switch and switch it on and push that button and power up the outlets. God has provided, like Florida Power and Light have provided, at a great expense, He has provided everything that pertains to life and godliness. And it comes in salvation, and it's part of us. But the problem is, we're still asking Him for what we already got. We need to apply our faith to what we have, instead of asking Him for what we already got. So that's why our prayers are a prayer of miss. We keep missing it. So we need to have that understanding, that our faith needs to be applied to God's grace.
what he's already provided. He's provided salvation. He's provided healing. He's provided provision. He's provided his presence. He's provided all these things that we're going to need to agree with it and believe it. And so our challenge is doubt and unbelief. You understand doubt and unbelief can stay in the same, can be in the same space. Remember that one guy said to him, says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You understand that I've worked on this whole belief thing, trying to get you to believe that you have this capacity of God, and you've got doubt and unbelief. Well, I prayed for so-and-so and it didn't happen. I asked God for this and it didn't happen. And you've got this doubt and belief clashing, and guess what? You're not going anywhere. Why? Because doubt and unbelief and belief happen in the same room. So what we got to do is get into the Word and start shoveling out doubt and unbelief. Some of you said, well, that those things were for the days of the apostles. Not from today. Rubbish. Chuck it out. Shovel it out. Oh, that's because Peter was anointed by God to do that. Shovel it out. Rubbish. Rubbish. That person didn't get healed. Hey, there's a lot more to it. I know what God said. By his stripes we men made whole. So I'm going to stick with that. I don't know what the situation is. I don't know what the doubt and belief is. But I tell you what, it neutralized faith. And I want to make sure it happens. So I need to. So that's why church, I can preach here, and you're going to get a 40-minute little glimpse of whatever I'm trying to tell you. But I tell you what, you need to wrestle with God. You need to say, God, what have you purchased and downloaded by your grace into my life? Because I want to walk in it. I want to release it. I want to be what you've called me to be. Because the title of it is, You Have What It Takes. You have what it takes. Don't have to say, Pastor, there's somebody sick. Can you come and pray for him? What's wrong with you? It says believers will lay hands on the sick. People will pray for those. What's wrong with you? I don't have any. We switched off the light last week. Nobody glowed in here. Including me. Including me. I didn't glow. I've got to take my faith and apply it to what God has done by his grace. And when the two meet, something happens. God pitches up. And so we need to be able to do that. So it's so important when Romans 10:17 says, now faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You've got to understand that this word is so important in your life. You've got to understand that the time you spend reading it, it helps you to move from unbelief to belief. It helps you be discipled. It helps you to have the grace, to understand grace, so that your faith can apply to it. And then watch out. Things will happen. Hallelujah. So next week, you're going to have a dynamic message that's going to follow on to this. And so I want to pray for you. Oh, you've got to go and dig it up for yourself. I can't make you believe. I can't fully persuade you what God has done in your life and the grace he's deposited. And I'm believing. I'm believing that your eyes will be open, that you have ears to hear what God's doing. I tell you what, because the fullness of God and his fullness depends on you understanding it. Understanding it. I have given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. I have given it to you. I have given it to you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I tell you what. Father, I thank you for this precious family. I thank you that you are so good to us. That you had this salvation so packaged that no, we only not only connected with you, but man, we became a powerhouse for you. And so, Father, we want to release all that you have provided for by grace to us and through us, so that, Father, we may see lives touched, kingdom advanced. And we thank you that you are postured for us to believe. You're postured for us to release this power that is being so provided in us. And so, Father, I thank you for that. But, Father, in the sound of my voice, there's some that haven't made the connection with you. Haven't made the connection with you. Haven't invited Jesus to be Lord of their life. To make that connection. To allow that awesome gift of grace to be deposited into their life. And so, Father, I want to give them the opportunity. And so if you are in that place, or you and you have not responded and understood that Jesus is so for you, he wants to come into your life. He wants to deposit his fullness and his power and his goodness and his grace into your life so that you can be the full you that you are designed to be before the foundation of the earth. if that's you and you want to do what that scripture said, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, then pray with us. Because as a church, we're going to pray together. I want you to all pray out loud and pray with faith, believing that this word that's been spoken is connected with somebody and they're responding to salvation today. And as they respond to salvation today, life is going to come to them. Eternity is going to come to them. Power is going to come to them. Oh, Father, I thank you for that. So just pray this. Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God and that you died on that cross for me, that you paid for my sins, that you rose and you sit at the right hand of the Father. Today I invite you to be Lord of my life. I invite you into my life as Lord and Savior. I declare you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You prayed that. You prayed that. Angels are throwing a party. They said one soul comes to Christ. They throw a party. So, Father, thank you. I know people have prayed that for the very first time. Oh, thank you, Father. Bring him to people that will show them your love. Demonstrate your love. Declare your love. Hallelujah. Musicians, if you come and prepare yourself to close us in song, I want to pray for you, church. I desperately want you to have a revelation of God's grace that's deposited in your life. I'm desperate for you to know his goodness and his grace and his power is for you. For all life and godliness. Oh, I want you to open scripture and you're going to see revelation after revelation after revelation of whose you are, who you are, and what you have. And so, Father, I pray for this family. Pray for those that are hearing me on live stream. Father, I pray that the eyes of the understanding would be enlightened, that their eyes would be open, that they would have spiritual ears to hear what you're saying. That, Father, that you're the lifter of their head, that you would show them that you are their God and that they are King's kids, that they are seated in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father, that you have deposited the fullness and the goodness and the grace of God into their lives. And so, Father, I thank you that today and this week that lies ahead, that they will be bold enough to say what they believe, that they will hang their hands on the sick and we will watch them recover. They will speak to need and to lack, and we'll speak to it and declare what you've provided in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for a groundswell of faith to arise and the body of Christ to be seen like never been seen before as they carry out who you are and whose you are. And Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace in our life. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Valerie. Edward.